Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
The US TV network CBS recently cancelled The Late Show with Stephen Colbert after he called out its parent company Paramount for paying Donald Trump millions of dollars to settle a fatuous legal dispute. Since then, Trump's administration approved an $8 billion merger between Paramount and the movie studio Skydance Media. All perfectly normal, nothing to see here. Jill Twiss is a comedy writer who's won multiple Emmys and Peabody Awards for late nights such as the hit HBO show Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. She's on the line. Jill Twiss, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you wrote this very interesting, a very funny op-ed about Colbert's cancellation, basically saying, if our overlords can't handle being joked about, we don't need new shows, we need new leaders. How has the reaction been to your article?
Mostly positive, but I have gotten some, really pointed hate mail, which makes me think that it's made it beyond my liberal bubble, hopefully to some people on the other side, which I choose to take as a good sign.
You're getting through. What has been the reaction among the community of writers that you work and you hang out in to that decision by CBS to cancel Colbert and his show?
I think that we are angry in one way, and I think we're mostly sad. I think we are people who love jokes. We love the power of jokes. We love the idea that you can and should make fun of your bosses and your leaders because that's your way of having power, especially in a time where you don't feel like you have a lot of power, where you feel like the government really is all on one side. And so to see someone sort of making fun of their boss and then making fun of the leader of the free world and having not just their show canceled, but the entire franchise canceled, it's really scary for those of us that love jokes and believe in jokes. And also, we just, you know, we grew up on that show. It's been around for 30 years. It means a lot to us.
I like how you talk about, and you've been writing about, the fact that as a writer, obviously, and joke writing, you're motivated by what's going on in the world and you want to get to that funny grain of truth. But you're saying now maybe you're not cut out for being this furious so much, pretty much all of the time.
I started writing late night comedy in 2014. So I had a couple of, we'll say, like training wheels years before the news just became all about one thing. And it's hard when your job is reading the news all day. But I think that everyone is kind of feeling it right now. And I just want to write silly jokes. I really do. And we're at a time where I just wake up and I'm like, why am I so mad? My body is not used to being this mad. I'm not cut out for this.
Does it work though? Does the comedy and the writing help the cure the fury?
No, I don't think so. I thought you were going to ask if it worked and like changed things. And I think the answer to that is also no. But I don't know that any of those things are the goal. I think it's a way of having a voice, but also jokes are a way of, I'm trying to think how to put this, like acknowledging reality. I think we're in a time where people are lying to such a large extent. People are in their bubbles to such a large extent that like having a place of comedy that has kind of a shared reality is something that means a lot to us.
There is also the sense that comedy seems to be the opposition at the moment, doesn't it? Because the Democrats have kind of disappeared. They seem to be very, very unpopular. And it is down to comedy and it's down to humor.
I mean, that's a lot to ask of comedy. I think I believe in it. I believe in its power. But I don't think, just to be clear, I don't think we're making jokes to fix the world. Mm-hmm. I think we're making jokes to cope with the world.
CBS, they're kind of saying this decision, it's a purely financial one. It's against the challenging backdrop in late night television. There is some truth to that, isn't there? There's kind of the American monoculture moment feels like it's over and they're hitting fast forward on the inevitable demise of the chat shows.
I can't say, to be honest, I can't look into their motives. What I can say, I guess, is that the finances haven't changed extremely recently. Colbert's contract, I believe, was up in May. They're not taking him off the air for 10 months. So it's weird that they decided to cancel the show 48 hours after he accused them of taking a bribe. It's weird that they decided to cancel the show the day after the head of what is now their parent company met with the Trump administration and promised to rein in their editorializing. And so I don't know. I do know that companies like this have all kinds of ways to talk about money. And what they haven't done is what some of the other networks have done, which is try to make the shows a little cheaper, try to cut down the staff a little bit. Mm-hmm. They went straight to ending the show and, in fact, ending the whole franchise.
So you have a sense that it's a political decision, really. Do you think canceling a late show, even with the heritage that it has and the history of TV and the moment it's at right now, does that have an impact on wider American society?
I want to clarify that I have a sense, sort of, they're arguing it's a financial decision, and you're saying I'm arguing it's a political decision. I think what I'm actually arguing is that the financial decision and the political decision are the same thing, that it's not any different.
Right.
If you're making a decision to pay $16 million to the president when you need a merger approved so that you can make more money, if you are giving in to the president's views so that you can make more money, sure, you can call that a financial decision. It's just that finances and politics are the same thing to me.
And the show, its impact on the wider world, does it really matter?
I don't know. You know what I think is maybe the most annoying thing in the world would be for a comedy writer to stand up here and tell you how important comedy is. So I don't want to claim that. I just know that it's meant a lot to me. And I think having something at the end of the day that is going, hey, like, what's going on right now is crazy, is helpful for my sanity. And I think that might be true for other people.
It feels like everybody has gone off into their own echo chambers, haven't they? There's a pattern in television. You've got a show on Fox called Gutfeld. He jokes mostly about the Democrats as in soft on Trump. You've got your show, John Oliver. Stephen Colbert is still there till next May. The two Jimmys, Seth Meyer, they seem to go harder on Trump than the Democrats. The division is there and nobody's hearing opposite views anymore.
I, to a large extent, agree. And I think that's a lot of the problem of what's, you know, going on in the country, is that I think we need to hear a little more of what's going on. I would even argue we need more diversity of viewpoints, because even when you named Gutfeld and all of the Jimmys and the Johns and the whatever, I would have liked to hear from some women in that story. I would like to hear from some people of color in that. So yeah, we are absolutely not getting diverse viewpoints politically and otherwise. And I do think that would be great.
Would a comedian who quite happily writes jokes for John Oliver, Stephen Colbert, jump ship and write jokes from the other side, whether it's on Fox or any of the other places?
I think it depends on the comedian. I don't think and this varies from person to person. This is my personal philosophy. I don't think the goal is to make fun of everyone an equal amount. I think the goal is to make fun of the people who deserve it. I think usually that means making fun of the people in charge. Now, when you have somebody that is completely dominating the news and also is so in charge, he has all of Congress and all of the Supreme Court right now, I think it's really important for everyone to hold him to account. But I do think that's absolutely true when there's a Democrat in the White House. And yes, do I think physically it's possible for me to make the same kind of jokes on the other side? Yes, I just don't think it's that necessary right now. I don't think the Democrats not having a lot of power, and as you said, not necessarily doing a lot with it at this moment. There's a whole lot to say.
Yeah, the extraordinary power is undoubtedly, it's in the hands of Mr. Trump. Particularly, you've got the massive tech companies, media companies now, universities, fearfully paying millions to settle cooked up lawsuits and investigations. Is this Trump White House still good for comedy content?
I would argue that the Trump White House was never good for comedy content. Yes, and I know that the world probably disagrees with me, but I think the least fun thing to write about is somebody who is bigger than jokes, who is making the joke ahead of time, who is the joke. We enjoy the craft of creating jokes, not the act of pointing and laughing at someone.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was never fun. That was never why I wanted to write comedy. But certainly I think it's gotten, you know, there are no easy jokes left. They're all done. We're all tired. We would all love to write about something else. I honestly think I can speak on behalf of at least the late night writing community.
There are almost 3.5 more years to go in this Trump White House.
I'm going day by day.
Bring it back to the human level, because obviously you're in the writing community. I presume you would know some of the writers on Stephen Colbert's Late Show who will be out of the job in May 2026.
I do. I know I think Stephen Colbert will be fine. I know Stephen Colbert will be fine. He's incredibly talented. I'm very worried about his staff. They are, to a person that I've met, at the top of their game. They're just funny and smart and talented and kind. And I don't want to compete against them for jobs.
Yeah, I see exactly what you mean. Do you know them personally? What is their mood like at the moment?
I do know some of them personally. I think their mood was shocked, and then they got to work. I think that they all know they have 10 months to do what they do and hopefully do it at their very best. And from what I've seen, these are just people who went. I mean, that's sort of the nature of writing for a late night show. You just don't have time to process things because you have to get up the next morning and write a full new hour long show. And they do it every day. And so that's exactly what they did, is they all took a moment. And now, you know what? They have to get up the next day and write the show.
Go again. What are the prospects for comedy writers? I mean, are there plenty of jobs outside of late night? Because you develop, you can become a name there and go on to other things, I presume.
No, there are not plenty of jobs. It was always, you know, I remember reading somewhere that like there are fewer people that get to make a living writing movies than there are like that are professional basketball players. And it's kind of a similar thing. We've found a wonderful thing we get to do, and it was really hard to get here, but there's not a ton of that. No, I think Hollywood is in a rough space right now. Everyone's trying to figure out how to make money. They took away commercials and then were sort of surprised that they weren't making money without commercials. Yeah. And so I think Hollywood is sort of reconfiguring how it works. And while that happens, that is never good for the labor. And the labor is always the writers. So I have high hopes for us. But I think it's a really hard time to lose your job.
It is. You've done a lot of work. One of the things you did was a book about Joe Biden's dog, Major Makes History. What happened when you launched that book?
Oh, sure. Yes, I was very kindly approached to write an extremely like nonpartisan book about Joe Biden's dog. His dog, Major, was the first shelter dog to make it to the White House, which was a very nice story. He adopted Major from Humane Society. Then I wrote the book. Books take a really long time to come out. It had to be illustrated. And right after it came out, Major bit like every Secret Service person at the White House and had to be kicked out of the White House. And I don't want to say I take it personally, but I will say that the book didn't do that well.
This was this lovely, beautiful, funny story about how Major and Joe met, and he just tried to eat everybody on hearing that you had ghostwritten his memoirs. Oh, dear. But listen, Jill, thank you so much for the chat this morning. And JillTwist.com, we can find out more of your work. Keep the chin up and enjoy
thank
the
you.
Next 3.5 plus years.
I will try. I'll do my best.
Take care. Bye-bye.
From the North Tech Studio, followed by your message to 80889.